Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is September... September 11th.
Yes.
Yeah.
Prayers and thoughts go out to everybody who lost family members on that day.
And even after that day.
People are still losing family members now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? There's people with all kind of cancers. And I saw today the woman, there was a picture of a black woman who was like covered in
dust lady.
She died.
Yeah.
She died a while ago. I didn't realize she had that. She had to
get like 2 years ago.
Yeah, stomach cancer.
Yeah.
But people are dying.
It was just the fight in Congress was just what, last month?
Yeah, with what's his name, John Stewart, right?
Yeah, that they finally extended the aid for the 9/11 victims fund. I mean, the 9/11 first responders fund. It's incredible looking back. It's been 18 years now to think of how much one day completely changed the landscape of the country,
of everything.
I was saying on Twitter today, I don't necessarily talk about that morning on social media anymore, because after so many years, it's like, okay, I've talked about where I was, what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
But what I will point out is, like, when the first plane hit, and I forget this sometimes, when the first plane hit, reports were initially that it was a pilot error.
Mm-hmm.
Because terrorism and plane hijacking wasn't something that happened here.
Never.
Well, you know what I mean? Not at this point.
Right.
Hijacking was huge in the 70s, early
80s. Yeah. But not anyway. Yeah. But even then, they'd be hijacking planes going to, like,
yeah.
Manila. Yeah, we're going to fly to...
Cairo. Some shit. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like... So the thought of a U.S. domestic flight being hijacked and flown to New York and into a Twin Tower was so alien.
Yeah.
That, like, even though there was, like, it took, like, really putting the piece together between the Pentagon hit... for it to really be like, oh shit, this was on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, it took a minute before they got to that. And now, when something happens, like, I remember there was a plane crash, like, a month after 9/11 in Queens, and I remember we were like, oh shit, it's happening again, but that was just a crash. And then, when the power outage happened in 2003, at first everybody was, when the whole Eastern Seaboard went down.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
At first
that.
Everybody was like, that's the terrorist again. So now every time something happens, we're like, it's terrorists. But at that point, that whole idea that there was a terrorist attack on the U.S.
Yeah, like, it was foreign.
Yeah, even bombing, like before, it was like Timothy, it was white men bombing shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like...
You know, previously, you know, a few people had lost their lives in a bombing at the World Trade Center. So this is not something that 90, was...
Was that 93?
It was 93. Yeah. It was 93. I was in high school, so I remember that. It clearly did not do the damage.
Mm-hmm.
And that was sort of what led them to plot and plan
this
attack and do it in the way that they did it, which is why they chose these huge sort of cross-country flights, right? They'd be filled with fuel.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're massive. Like, you know, I think people get on a plane, they don't really grasp how big and massive
the
plane.
Three-cabin flights.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I vividly remember that day, but the one thing that stayed with me, because I worked downtown during that time. I worked at FedEx. We were on Pier 40. And the two things that really, really stuck out has always been they had to use that to keep refrigerated trucks.
Yeah.
That's where they were bringing body parts.
Right.
Wow.
And we had to kind of move to 34th Street.
Yeah, like
that
all
point.
The triage centers were.
They were all in that
piers, right?
Yeah, all in that whole pocket. Like we used to have to show our ID to go down past like 14th Street.
Yeah. You remember they cut off the West Side Highway?
And and then I had to do a pickup. And what's crazy is that FedEx was down. I think we were down for like 2 days. Like the air travel was just down. Like you couldn't do anything. And then, you know, the fucking world keeps going.
Yeah, keeps moving.
And then I had to make pickups down there. We used to have to go clean out the sort units, right? So you go down there, you make the pickup, and there is nothing more distinctive than the smell of burning hair and electronics.
Like they're
so distinctive. And you can just smell it, man. Like smoldering. It was actually like, wow. Like,
yeah. Well, to your point about the world keeps going, the other thing about that day that was really stark to me was that that was the only time I've actually really seen New York stop.
Yeah.
Except
it didn't stop uptown.
Kanye came outside of Harlem. It was a regular day. Kanye came to my door at like 2 o'clock and I was like, do you know that we're in the middle of a national crisis? Yeah. He had no idea because he was based out of the facility on 125th Street. And radio y'all, tell y'all, nothing. Yeah. They're like, nope.
Bodegas is open. It was a normal day in Harlem. You would have never known.
But that whole week, well, by that night, though, like, because the smoke started getting up to Harlem by that night. Yeah. I remember that. I remember we were all, like, me and a bunch of my tenants were sitting outside. This is when I was still in my family's building in Harlem. And, like, the smoke had started making its way uptown. But I remember that week, like, I tried to go back into the office because it was a regular Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I had gone back into the office on Thursday. There was only, like, a handful of us there. And people were calling, like, why the fuck are you in the office? Leave. And I was like, really? Like, we not doing nothing? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. We're not working? And then, like, a bomb threat got called into Penn Station. It was like, no, like, go home. And I remember being in Midtown and, like, even though there was still the crowds and there were still the cars, there was, like, no noise. Yeah. Like, cars weren't honking.
Yeah.
Music wasn't playing. People weren't being loud. You know what I mean? It was just like...
It was solid.
It was like somebody pushed mute.
Yeah.
It was really eerie.
Yeah. Did y'all see that? Remember that there was a documentary about it? Did you ever see y'all see that documentary?
I don't watch anything about 9/11.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't watch it because...
Yo, that documentary is...
But which one?
It's the one I saw. I can't remember the name of it now.
That's my point. Like
the one I saw was the one where they were showing people like jumping out the windows.
I've seen that footage.
Yeah. That was... bonkers. That's the thing. There's actually a lot of footage of some heinous shit.
Yeah.
That people were taking, like, with, you know, with handheld cameras.
It wasn't cell phone cameras.
And a lot of people, you know, had lived in apartment buildings where they had direct shots of the World Trade so people could really see what was going on. Like, all these different angles of the planes going in the buildings from different sides. Like, some people had joints that they were, like, right up under. I was like, you're wilding because you might die.
Right.
Like the, and like I said, you're seeing people like jumping off like 100 stories, y'all. They just jumping.
Yeah, I mean,
like, because it's like, are you gonna burn up or you gonna jump? I couldn't imagine.
So God bless all those people.
Let's lighten it up a little bit.
God, lighten it up now.
Woo. So Dennis Rodman, did you watch this documentary last night?
I did. I missed like the last half hour. I kind of knocked out after that.
So it was very interesting. I knew a lot of it being a sports fan, but it got really in depth. It got way more in depth about like his childhood and his upbringing than I had seen any other kind of stuff about him getting involved in. Mm-hmm. How he like him and his mom had this horrible relationship with his sisters. His father was totally absent, and then he basically kind of like got. I don't know, legally, but kind of got adopted by this white family in Oklahoma, where he went to college. He had this crazy growth spurt. He grew like a foot in a summer.
Yeah.
Because before that, he was just Dennis Rodman, the kind of knucklehead kid with no future at all.
Yeah. Yeah, he was going nowhere fast.
Yeah.
There were a couple things that I didn't know. I didn't know his sister played ball.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it kind of, I was like, oh, okay, I can kind of see where the genes clearly have come from because he just does things that on a basketball court that aren't, they're not really learned. There's a genetic sort of natural gift. Watching him, you know, talk about the family, and listen, you know, Dennis definitely puts a little spin.
He put a little sauce on everything.
And I was really shocked and actually a little I don't know if sort of relieved was the word I was looking for, but I was a little shocked that the woman admitted that she called him a nigga.
Yeah.
And she didn't do it like an obviously, in, well, not obviously. She didn't do it in this sort of proud way, but she did it in an acknowledging way. Like, yeah, I did say that. Like, it would have been very easy.
But it'd be like, I don't remember that incident. I don't remember that happened.
Or I never said that, right? Yeah. Because it's Dennis Rodman saying you said that.
Yeah, so it'd be like, that nigga's crazy.
That nigga's crazy anyway. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was also strange to me, but also telling that he had no context. And Dr. Boyd talked about this. Like, he had no context in the colloquial way we use nigga versus the racial epithet way that you know, white folks used it. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he was just absolutely blank to that.
Yeah.
And that's been the one thing that was sort of unanimous about, you know, what everyone said, was that he was just really, he was a kid. He was really, really a kid.
And like, kind of, basically,
he
like
was green.
And immature.
Yeah, he was green. He really didn't know shit from Shinola.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And by the way, if there's any pro that I would have ever wanted to fucking hang out with, it's John Sally.
Yeah.
John Sally was cracking. John, it was popping.
All the time.
And I actually got to meet Robin one time.
Really?
In Chicago, on the road, and we did some show at a club or some shit like that, and he came through. And it was all the Dennis Rodman shit that you think was happens was at the club. It was happening. Shots. You know, the fucking, the foolish looking hats.
Yeah, all that
You know,
shit.
The earrings everywhere. All the shit that you thought came with Dennis Rodman was absolutely popped with Dennis Rodman. Night.
A couple things surprised me. I was surprised they got Jordan to sit in the dock. Because, you know, Mike don't really do shit no more.
Yeah.
Even though they, obviously, there was, you know, they were teammates and all that. But, like, I was surprised.
Jamie was the executive producer.
Yeah, he definitely made. Come on, Mike. I need you on this one.
Mike,
I need you on this
one. Now.
And this part wasn't really surprising to me, but it was very interesting to me how much Isaiah and Sally still feel so much emotion for him. Like, like Isaiah started crying, like, at one point, because he was like, I saw, like, when he was on Chicago, when he started to kind of really go off the edge, he was like, no one was helping him, like, no one was helping him. And Isaiah, like, got up and walked away, couldn't even, and then Sally didn't cry, but you could, and Sally had such insight into him, to Dennis.
Yes.
Like, when he said something very interesting, I never heard nobody say, he's like, yo, keep it real, like, Dennis was the ugly kid.
Yeah.
He was the ugly kid.
Grown up.
Yes. So that's why he was so OD with everything, because he was, that's inside him.
Yeah.
Ugly little Dennis Rodman, like, since he was a kid.
His mother was every bit of that mean, surly, black mom that we kind of talk about. The things she was even saying at this point, just harsh. And I couldn't imagine how she was when
she was young and spry.
When she was young and spry. And when he was a child, right? Like, and had no power.
Brutal.
And no, you know what I'm saying?
Brutal.
You can tell, just, you know, she was saying how. So Dennis, at like 20, he's working at DFW at the airport,
mm-hmm.
and does some really dumb 20-year-old shit, right? He takes a bunch of watches or whatever. And of course, you know, they arrest him, and he goes down to this little precinct.
And you see he's crying in a mugshot.
He's clearly fucking crying.
Yeah.
Like most 19, 20-year-old kids would be, who really don't have the concept of, I mean, he knew he was doing something wrong. He didn't realize how wrong it was.
Yeah.
And, like, she was like, he was a blubbering fool down there. And I'm like, lady, he's fucking, that's your kid.
He's traumatized.
He's fucked up.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was for show. I mean, they clearly, but they do that. That's what they used to do back in the days. They'd take you in, fingerprint you.
Yeah. We're going to put you in jail for 20 years.
And all that stupid shit. But the doc was actually well made. I could have gone without some of the little, you know, tweaks and twerks, but it's fine. They're making a film.
I definitely suggest it.
Yep.
Let's get into, I don't know, did y'all watch any of the reality stuff?
Real Housewives of Potomac's finale was on Sunday.
Which actually I missed, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I was watching football.
So it was Ashley discovering she was pregnant. It was okay. Karen finally doing her like preview thing for La Dame
for the
fragrance.
Perfume.
This season was kind of interesting because there were the biggest storyline was Ashley and Michael, obviously.
Yes.
And everybody, and then like Karen and Giselle fighting.
Mm-hmm. And what's the problem fighting? Candace and Ashley.
Oh, Candace
told her mom
she was going. They were taking over the full mortgage.
Really?
And even her mom was kind of like. Even her mom was like, okay, well, that's fine. But she was still trying to throw in, like, little snippy comments. And Candace was like, okay, girl. You know what I mean? Like, she still was being... And her mom was like, you know, that's fine. You know, as hard as I've worked for 40 years, you know. Because I feel like sometimes you feel like it was a competition. Candace's like, no, mom, I don't feel like I need to compete with you, my mother, a 50-year-old woman. You know, they're just so weird. Whatever.
Yeah, they're very
so
weird.
So, anyway, Candace and Ashley squashed their beef. Robin and... Juan got little commitment tattoos as opposed
to... So they ain't
getting
married.
But apparently they're, like, on their way back. But Juan is still trying to convince her to have another kid, which is like...
Juan ain't married.
They going to be black people married.
Yeah,
like, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, Juan ain't going nowhere.
He ain't going nowhere.
She ain't going nowhere now.
Right.
You know, maybe 4 or 5 years go past. Kids might get a little bigger. They
well,
might go through a little
breakup.
Well,
kids are asking now, like, what y'all doing?
Yeah, that's but then they're going to go through them periods where every 4 to 5 years, they take a little break.
Yeah.
Right,
air quotes. And your daddy ain't leave. You got to go down and see your daddy on your own now. You know,
in his own little raggedy-ass apartment.
Mr. Ronald coming by, y'all can't be here.
Y'all gonna stay down there with your father.
Right.
This is my, I mean, I always say I'm talking shit, but this is my theory on Juan. Look, he born and raised in Baltimore. I think he won a high school championship there. Definitely won the college championship. Played pro for a lot of his career at the
in
Wizards.
DC.
So he that's his area.
Yeah.
Ain't no...
But hers too.
I know, but you know, Juan's a good looking guy.
Yeah.
I just don't buy that he ain't got a couple of things going on. So this is perfect.
Well, you know what? I think he did.
You don't think he does now?
I don't think
so. If you watch the season, they're like together.
Juan gets that, you know, he's definitely near the end of his prime for the game.
And Robin's stock is rising. That's the other thing. Robin making more moves. She's feeling more independent. She's feeling more secure.
It ain't got nothing to do with moves. Juan see them niggas on her back.
Right.
That's what's happening.
Right. Yeah.
Don't nothing get a nigga right than seeing another nigga on her back.
You know what I'm saying?
But also,
how you doing this,
but also, she's more financially stable because, like, this real estate flipping she's doing and stuff, that's not with Juan. That's with her mom.
And the show.
Yeah. I mean,
she's
fine. I mean, listen. I mean, I ain't in their pockets.
Right.
And clearly, like they're fine. Like,
yeah.
Nobody's missing any meals over there. But I also think too, they had a very traumatic experience.
Super. Mm-hmm.
Like losing that kind of bread.
And starting from zero.
Like, dude, resetting is a motherfucker.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, Robin has showed that not only is she able to do this shit, that she's willing to do
this
shit.
She's with it.
You know what I'm saying? Because she could have bounced.
And that's hard to find.
Yeah.
That's almost impossible to find.
Yes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And took culpability in the fact that she was
like
a part of what happened.
Yeah.
So I think that they have a different level and a different bond, especially this go around.
Yeah.
The dynamics of their relationship with them losing that bread put them kind of on equal footing.
Yeah. So, in the finale the reunion is Sunday coming.
Yeah.
This time of year when it gets wild because you got Married to the Medicine, you got the reunion, and then we got football. Like, it's so much on Sunday nights.
Yeah.
Last week was also Black Girls Rock. It's like 4 or 5 things going on at the same time.
Because I also do Succession on Sunday nights, which is on HBO.
Oh, I heard it's good. I haven't watched it.
So now, in talking about reality shows, you especially, Jeffrey, I still cannot believe you do not watch Love After Lockup.
I just never did it. I see it on the timeline.
So crazy.
I see it on the timeline all the time. I know it's good. I'm just juggling because now I'm married to the Medicines. They'll come back on with old
Cecil. And you on Love and Marriage.
Marriage. I'm going to get to that in a second. So, Married to the Medicine premiered this week. it kind of just jumped right into the heat. Like, they was just barking and going hard from the door.
Yeah, what you playing for?
Yeah, what you playing for? Ain't no warm-up.
Heavenly and somebody's husband were arguing on the timeline during the premiere or something?
Cecil.
Oh, okay.
Cecil. Old Cecil and Heavenly been getting into it. Quad and Mariah still mad at each other. Simone now don't fuck with pretty much nobody.
Well, I mean, I just want to be fair. She accused the woman of snorting cocaine. Like, that's not like, you know, that's kind of like, that's some other shit.
But Mariah accused Quad of fucking her sister's husband.
Listen.
You know, it's nasty on both sides.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I get it.
I understand why they're a little tight. Eugene and what's the name? Toya. They about to move again.
My nigga Gene.
They built from zero.
Building.
It ain't even done nothing. Yet. A 9,000 square foot house. Like me and Sean say all the time, with all the inventory in Atlanta and all the, for lack of a better term, like nigga shit in Atlanta that people like big closets and like you can find what you want. You don't need to build from zero. And as many homes as there are in Atlanta with the inventory, I don't know how much your home is going to ever really appreciate.
Right.
It's actually not
exactly. That's what I'm saying. If you say you pay $2 million for it for round number. It's gonna go to 2.3, 2.2. Like, it ain't gonna go to like 4 or 5.
Yeah, you're not gonna get a lit.
No, that's because you're coming in on the top end. I'll put you like this. Dr. Jackie, who you know we know makes legit money because she has a couple practices and seems to deliver every black baby in Atlanta. She's buying a new house too. Her joint is 4,500 square.
Yeah,
which is really nice, by the way. 20 of them shit is 9,000. It's double. Like, you don't make the money that Dr. Jackie making.
Even double the money. But that's the thing. Like, even it's money aside, right? It's the showpiece.
That's what
right.
It is,
and what's happened is, it's like you're literally watching sort of Eugene. You know, basically, like, I'm just like hoping dude don't stroke out. Yeah. I'm just like, bro, I hope he doesn't get to the point where he's got to pull these hours to where he's not only, you know, missing his family and not really being there, but fucking stressed, man, because that's a lot of house. Like, they're NBA players that could clearly afford homes like that have retired, and they're like, I'm getting fuck out. Like, I don't need 9,000 square feet.
Yeah, I'm going to buy me a condo.
I don't need, like, 9,000 square, like, I just, it's really hard, I think, for some people to sort of wrap their heads around.
That's a crazy big house. That's a
massive.
You're not using most of that house.
Yeah, like, what do you need it for?
It's showpiece. Except
just, if you, you're doing that for showpiece, and everything is custom and everything. And look, man, I get it. He wants to feel like he has worked this hard. He's, you know, achieved his dream. If that's
is that him or is that her?
I think he's conformed.
I think he's bought into
sort of this sort of black elite.
Because you see the truck he driving now.
Yes,
he got this big Rubicon, the Jeep truck. Yeah. Well, I really like those, but it's like, that wasn't him at the beginning of the show. That's a truck that everybody's going to be like, yo.
That's a smooth, on the low, that's probably a smooth $75,000 truck.
The tires alone are like, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, he's definitely bought in. Interesting tidbit that they dropped was that, I guess, what's Heavenly's husband?
Damon?
Put Eugene in the game.
Yeah,
I don't know that.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I was surprised. I was just like, they had all these seasons, they like, and all the and even all the interactions that Eugene and Damon have obviously have had. Like, I never even got that energy that they was that close.
Well, I don't think they're that close. I think Damon
put him on.
I think Damon is the type of dude that's like, look, like we talked about this. Nigga, if I'm not going to give you a shot, if I got a shot to give and I ain't willing to give it to this young black dude who's qualified,
nobody's
giving him a shot.
Yeah.
So I think it was that. And I don't think they ever really had a massive bond or relationship.
Or like a mentor.
Yeah,
or
I don't think they really had that. I think they were cool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think they probably sat down to the table,
had a little brown.
Yeah, you know, I think they did something like that, but I don't think that was his man's like that.
Okay. Yeah, because that threw me off. I was like, oh, shit.
I don't think that was his man's.
So, anyways, it was the first episode. So we're going to get too deep in it, but I'm definitely going to watch it. So, then this also was the premiere week of Love and Marriage Huntsville, which is on OWN, second season.
You see what they're doing.
Oh, it's the first season, second part. Season,
yes.
Yeah, second
part. That's for something with contracts and paying the cast, right?
Yes.
Or is it also about continuity?
There's a little bit of both, I believe. Okay.
So, yeah, second half of the first season. And again, they jumped right in to the fire. The main thing on this one was Martell and Mel, who were like the youngest couple on the show. They're all pretty young, but the youngest couple on the show, Mel has decided on the show that she's going to leave because he keeps cheating and all this stuff. And then it went off the show onto the internet, and what's his name? Funky Dineva?
Dineva
sent out a little APB, I guess, for lack of a better term, to find out who the mistress was, and they found her.
Well, that's not going
to... She's young.
She is young. She's in her 20s.
That's not going to be hard. And also, too, I want to give a little bit of context, right? Because when we say cheating,
he's in a whole other relationship.
Yes, like that. Like,
yeah.
This isn't just like him, you know, oh, I met somebody. They have 3 years.
At least. There might be more.
She's like his...
She's his girlfriend.
He definitely ran her mama to the doctor.
All that shit.
Yeah, that nigga's definitely been to Costco with them.
He got stuff at the house. Yeah,
all of that. Yeah,
all that. She'd be buying his favorite juice.
Yes. And don't touch that.
Don't touch that. They had a high C I like. All that type of shit. Yeah, they had a full-blown committed relationship.
That nigga name might be on the cable down to the house.
It probably is. Nigga probably paying the bills.
Paying something.
Nigga probably paying the car note. Nigga, like he's, so I think I read she's like 20... I want to say 26 or 28. She's really young.
Okay.
And he's only 34, though. Young, because Mel's only 32.
Oh, okay.
They're all pretty young, but still, like, so they found her, and so I don't know what that's going to mean for the show. Like, is she going to end up being on the show?
I doubt
Will she start doing interviews on the radio down there? Or?
I would probably assume that if I'm him, I would assume both. I doubt that she comes to the show only because I don't know what that's going to mean for that pregnant woman.
Yeah.
We're bringing the mistress on the show. Yeah. Like that goes a little bit off brand for what they're trying to do.
Yeah, they try to keep it somewhat.
I'm going to skip it.
But, so that's, you know, this is one of my favorite reality shows because, like, I think I've said it last year. Like, it's like, none of them, well, a couple of them are, but none of them are really like that far removed from kind of like the college lifey, Greek life kind of, because they're Greek,
right.
A lot of them are Greek too.
Right.
So like, it's kind of like you're seeing like your cousins from down south who went to the black school, who pledged, who got married, who are, you know, doing pretty well, especially for Huntsville. And then you're seeing all the warts. And that's how I feel about Married to the Medicine. It's like your older cousins. Same thing. Went to the black schools, doing well, doing anything, but you see it kind of behind the curtain, you know?
The problem I have with Huntsville is that there's no one likable. Like, there's not a person I root for.
Yeah.
Right? Even when I'm mad. Like, when I watch Married to Medicine, like, I want to see Gene win.
Yeah. I want to see Cecil win.
Like, even when they fuck up a little bit, Curtis, it's like, yeah, if Curtis, whatever, nigga. Like, yeah, you was wilding, my nigga. But you kind of want to see them win, but I don't feel like that with any of the men there. Like they just do, like the Martell, not the Martell.
Marceau,
whatever. That caveman nigga, he sounds crazy.
He sounds crazy, yo.
Every time. You know what I'm saying? The other dude is like, he don't really know how to figure this out with his you know,
with his wife.
None of them are interesting. I don't root for any of them. Yeah. They're not likable characters to me, and I don't mean characters in a bad way.
Are you saying? Yeah. So I mean, you know, again, it's only episode one. We're gonna keep watching, but I do love it. Oh, by the way, I just caught Sunday Best the other day. The finale?
I haven't
watched it. Did you watch it?
I haven't watched that show since.
I hadn't either.
DeAndre, what's her name, was on it.
But the three finalists were like,
well, you know, awesome. It went off for a while.
Yeah, I know. It just came back this season. I did know that.
The three finalists were awesome. One of the guys plays guitar. Like, they were great. I was like, wow. Like, there's some real, like, serious talent, you know?
Yeah.
I was really impressed. Let's talk about, I got two things to talk about.
Well, while you're figuring it out, I just want to give a shout out to Serena Williams. I was at the Open on Saturday.
Yes, you went.
Yeah, which was great. I had never seen her play in person before. So it was the women's finals.
And how was it?
Stressful as fuck.
Was there a lot of black folks in the crowd?
I mean,
the US Open's pricey.
It is pricey, but I can't, like, were black people the majority of the people in the crowd? No, I have no idea what a lot of black people means for the US Open, because I've never been before.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So it's real.
Like, were there black people there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was it?
It wasn't like,
It wasn't like going to
the Bell concert.
Yeah, but that was like I definitely saw, you know, like Curtis and Barbara, they had their paraphernalia on. She had Delta shirt on. He had his Omega shirt on.
Okay.
I was like, these niggas here. I love it though. It's great. But I don't know how, like, her husband and, like, I mean, Venus, I guess she understands what's different. But I wouldn't be able to watch, like, any solo professional player, watching them play is stressful. Mm-hmm. Because it's all on them.
It's on them.
You know? And Serena was off her game from jump. And then she started to come back. And what was crazy was, actually, I'm really happy I was at this game, because even at this match, because even though she didn't win, literally, like, she had played semi-horribly for her, like, for the whole match. And then right at the championship point for Bianca, the girl she was playing,
mm-hmm.
Serena came back for that game and for the following three games before she finally, like, let the match go. Because literally, like, that girl had one more game to beat her, and that was it. Like, she was winning. And even for me, as I was watching her come back, I was like, this is great, but I can't go through it. It would have meant a whole nother set. And I was like, I don't think Serena has another set in her. I was like, I don't think I have another set in me. Like, I can't go through this again. I'm not even playing. I can't go through this again, right? And but the crowd was so crazy that, you know, tennis is a very polite sport. The chair umpire was over us. Like, she kept, because it was like,
because y'all was too loud.
It was like a football game in there for a minute.
Y'all was too rowdy.
Yeah, everybody was standing up, cheering for, like, every point, everything. Like, it was just pandemonium in the stadium. Like, it literally was like a football or basketball game. But it was great to be there and to see how she is when she really is focused and in it. And just to even see that moment of, like, her coming back. And you could tell, like, something clicked in her head at some point where she was probably just like, I'm just going to let this girl win.
Yeah.
And she you could tell even her, Serena is a notoriously bad loser. She was super gracious and cool.
Really?
Afterwards. Yeah, she was chilling. She went, she gave old girl a hug at the end of the match, like, everything. And that girl played her ass off. Like, the fact that it took a 19-year-old that much work to beat Serena.
A 38-year-old.
Yeah, it took her that much. And she played really well. She played her ass off. Like, to the point where when she finally won after Serena hugged her and told her she played a great game, she literally just laid out in the middle of the court.
Like, wiped out.
Like nobody else was there. Like, I don't even give a fuck y'all are here right now. I'm just going to lay here and just breathe. Like, she laid on the court for, like, a full 2 minutes. Just laid out on the court. Yeah. Just like
that. Yeah. I mean, like you said, Serena's 38.
Yeah.
She's been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
She's obviously the GOAT.
I was tired.
And she can't, you know, I think she can't kind of sustain that level like she used to. She's had a lot of injuries.
Yeah,
she's had a baby.
Like, but she still comes to, but this is the thing. A lot of people are like, it's time for her to retire. I'm like, a person who consistently goes to the finals in a solo sport needs to retire? Are you insane?
No, it ain't time to retire.
Yeah. When she's out in, like, the first round, then let's talk about, which I'm sure she'll retire long before that, but it's still like, she's still in the, even though she hasn't won a final in a long time, she's still in the final.
The last four. Like, the last four, what's it called? Grand Slams.
Yeah, but she's still been there.
That's what I'm saying. Just so she's been in the last four finals.
Right.
So, yeah, I love Serena. And, you know, Venus is definitely like, you know, Venus is 40.
Right.
Like 41. So she's just playing for fun at this point.
Exactly.
Malik Yoba. Mm. So, you saw.
I caught up. I caught up with all of this after the fact, but
Malik's fine.
But Malik's a weird dude, anyway.
So Malik Yoba has come out recently saying that he has
He's trans attracted.
He's trans attracted, which means, you know, for those who don't know, he's attracted to heterosexual, cis hetero women and trans women.
Yes.
And so he came out and said this on Instagram first. Then he did a radio interview with Claudia Jordan. I didn't know even had a show
in Atlanta. Though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, on a radio show in Atlanta that they posted all over the place. And then he was on the Breakfast Club this morning. He was on the Breakfast Club this morning with some trans people. Talking about everything. You know what I'm saying?
After the assault allegation.
Yeah, after all of that. Keep talking.
Okay, sorry. Just gotta take a break. So, Malik Yoba comes out and says that he's trans-attracted, and a lot of people were cheering for him for it because it's been a challenge for black men especially to admit that they do have an attraction to trans women. But the theory is a trans woman is still a woman.
Mm-hmm.
If you're attracted to women, you would be attracted to trans women because you don't actually know. It's a woman. So, because, we had the whole incident with Mr. C, and he finally had to come out and talk about it. And, it was Eddie Murphy back in the day, and it was...
Allegedly.
In fairness, Eddie has stuck with his story
of he was
just giving someone a ride.
Right.
And he was just simply giving someone a ride. And after damn near 30 years now...
Yeah.
True. Yeah. But there was Teddy. Teddy was in the car with a transgender woman when he had his infamous accident.
Yes.
A woman who had transitioned long before she met Teddy.
Yes.
Everybody was applauding Malik, but then almost immediately after he has this conversation, this woman comes out and says that Malik pressured her for sexual favors or something like that when she was 13.
Yeah, so whoever the transgender women used to kind of gather, to work the streets.
Was it Hans Point?
I think you talked about the meat pack.
I think it was meat packing pre all this shit.
Pre-gentrification.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Pre-Sex in the City.
Exactly. Yes. And he picked her up at 13, knowing she was young. Because she says that the other girls is like, yo, go with him. He got bread and blah, blah.
Okay.
And then he would come back time to time and, get her. So he knew she was young. All allegedly.
Right.
I don't want to
have an issue. He kind of acknowledged it, didn't he?
I didn't acknowledge this.
I know the minor shit.
Freestyle or something like that. Okay, so.
Malik be doing a lot.
Okay, this is my issue.
And all this happened right to coincide with the 25th anniversary of New York Undercover, which, goddamn, but go ahead.
So. I don't want to call it even an issue. I just have questions. And I feel like in today's world of ultra, woke and PC or whatever, I feel like sometimes if you ask questions of certain shit, you just get murdered.
I think it's about how you... Well, first of all, no.
Maybe it's about how you dress it, too.
Part of it is about how you phrase the question. Okay. But it's also who you ask the question to. Because it is true, if you just throw something out on the open timeline, some people will it's about how you phrase
it. I also think there has to be, like we talked about before, there has to be some earnest in the question.
Okay. Exactly.
Did you think about this? Did you do a little reading? Did you do,
I ain't done no reading, but I thought about it.
Sometimes you have to preface it. Sometimes you have to preface it so that you don't get attacked with, listen, this is a genuine question. It may seem ignorant. I really am trying to learn.
Okay, I'm trying to figure this
out. Here's my question.
So let me throw it out there.
Okay.
So, if sorry for the caveman shit oil.
Right.
If a dude is attracted to a trans woman.
Right.
Right? A trans woman that hasn't transitioned, that still has the low end theory, right?
Right.
And then they go on to have sexual intercourse.
Right.
How is that not a homosexual act?
So here's the thing.
I don't understand that.
So here's
part.
The thing.
You got
You asked a question. Stop. Because now you're about to go into offense. Now you're about to make a joke. And that's when you're being ignorant.
Bro, let me drink my water.
Because you started in a good place. But as soon as you be about to go into the joke, that's when you cross the line. I get it. Okay. So here's the thing. a lot of, I won't even say most, but a lot of pre-transition,
pre-op
transsexual women do not like to acknowledge the penis at all. They don't use it. They don't like it touched.
Okay.
They don't like, think about Angel in Pose. Like, she doesn't, even
Poppy.
Even Elektra, before she transitioned, like, she really didn't.
Kept, like,
yeah, she really didn't want. Yeah, she doesn't want to. She doesn't want to acknowledge it. So for them, they prefer it not be an equation in sex play, right? Okay. So that obviously means anal sex, but anal sex isn't automatically a homosexual act.
No,
right. So that's one. The second thing is the sheer attraction to, now the attraction to a transvestite who is a man who dresses as a woman, but like obviously a man who is dressed like a woman. And a transsexual who is a man who lives as a woman and who may not be able to be quote unquote clocked on site is a little different, right? Like, because technically you're attracted to, you're still attracted to a feminine presentation.
Okay, but then this is about to get gray to me.
Right.
So if you're attracted to a, like you said, feminine, I know you heard that shit before.
I just made that up. You should probably trademark that. But you're attracted to a feminine presentation.
You should probably trademark that.
I mean, I'm sure somebody has said that before,
so
but that's what it is.
Feminine presentation, right?
Right.
Then why don't you just go to a woman?
Well, they do also have sex with women. So Malik Yoba also has sex with women. But there may be something, maybe it's the anal, maybe there's I can't speak to that because I'm not a man who has sex with transsexuals. But the other part of it is that the part that is where men get violent is when they feel like they were
tricked.
What scares transsexuals is being able to actually say, I used to be a man, right? So there might
or I am,
I'm pre-op. But like take Janet Mock, for instance. Janet Mock transitioned at 18. If you did not know that Janet Mock at one point was a man, you would never guess that Janet Mock was a man. She's fucking gorgeous.
Even crazy that was on Love, Sydney Star.
Right.
I would just be, that's a wild girl. Like,
right,
I would never
think
it was,
right,
you know?
Right. So it's like, and she's pre-op.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, for all intents and purposes, you're attracted to feminine presentation, but then when men flip out, it's because of their own fear, like, oh, you used to be a man, I must be gay. No, you're attracted to a woman. This is a woman. This is...
But just the part of it's great, but it's not a woman because you still got a joint.
But you don't see that. Like, if you see Janet Mock, you don't see...
Well, Sam, if you...
But what about post-op? Even post-op men freak out.
Okay, I don't
know. You know,
I
get it in theory, right? Because we've been so socialized to believe there are just these two. There's male and there's biological shit, and then there's the sociological.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of this is really just about our own. We don't have Westerners don't really have a healthy relationship with sex.
Mm.
It's very limited. It's very confined.
Very Puritan.
Puritan. And it's very like, this is what the men do, this is what the women do.
Mm.
And like, that's it. This is what wholesome people do, and this is what
freak people do.
You know what I mean? And once you get beyond that, either people assume like you must be on some pornographic shit, or it's some scandalous and salacious shit. And for men especially, the boxes that what amounts to masculinity, like, they're so narrow, and we're seeing it now when we talk about toxic masculinity, and we talk about other stuff, that, but it's been going on for so long that it's hard to unlearn, and it's hard to learn new things.
What's
interesting is that, and this isn't necessarily geared towards you, because I've seen these posts,
yeah,
but like, why does it matter? And I don't
mean... Why does it matter?
Yeah, like, I'm not even saying that in a flippant way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, if Malik Yoba, who there has been rumors about for years, right? If Malik Yoba, even if there were no rumors,
right,
decided that he was attracted to trans women, pre-op, post-op, whatever. Like, my thing was, like to see people get so wrapped up,
worked up about it. That's what I'm talking about. Like, it's, the way we are about sexuality, even in 2019, like, but this is also why I say that Kevin Hart and them asking Lil Nas X why he came out is some bullshit. Because look at this, right? Like, it's a whole thing. Like, well, are you gay? Are you bi? I mean, maybe him and maybe Mr. C and maybe some else, maybe they are bisexual, but rather than be able to explore their bisexuality, for them the safe route is, in their mind, I mean, I'm talking shit, I don't know. But again, we have made it so uncomfortable for men to be anything other than
or
flat out gay.
I think C, like, is the perfect example of this. Because C was, you know, you have to think about, you know, the obvious cultural reasons why he would have been closeted.
Right.
Then you have to think about, I mean, cultural in terms of where
the
his parents are from, the Caribbean culture, the Caribbean background. Then you're in this wildly hyper-masculine space.
Hip-hop shit.
So, you know, Kane is out here with six bitches every night in the hotel.
Yeah. Right. Scrap wild.
There is this wild pressure for you to do things that you may or may not want to do, right? And you can't really explore that stuff as you're coming of age, right?
Right.
But C, when he acknowledged it, like, this didn't put a dent in C's
But remember, it took a minute.
Yeah.
Because this stuff...
He kept getting caught.
Because when it first happened, he did deny it.
No. And
But then finally he was like, fuck it, fine, whatever. And I do think we're at a point... First of all, C is... You know, he's 100 years old. The other thing about C is that he's tied to such a massive legacy that you can't really write C off.
Well, that's why.
C took the sting out of it. Like, once he admitted it, it's like, what you want?
But that's also what I'm thinking about with Malik, right? Yeah. Like, do we still enjoy his work?
Yeah, he's still like.
Is anybody not gonna watch a New York Undercover reboot because
he's
why I get married or whatever?
All I've seen with him is a question about the age of the girl, right? That's what I've been. But of course, my timeline is different than some people's. I'm sure there's some other people out there like, yo, so you all gay? But like, here's my other thing where I think we're full of shit with this. It is my firm belief that anybody who did more than a certain amount of time in the pen has some fluidity going on.
I agree with that 10,000%.
It is my firm belief.
All these niggas talking about, I ain't do nothing. Niggas in it for 11 years.
Fucking like, you fucking lie. You definitely got your dick sucked, my man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, minimum.
Whoa!
I'm saying!
But I told you about the boy from the project. Mm-hmm. I told you this story on here before, didn't I?
No.
Well, I don't want to say his name, because whatever. But there's my grandmother lived in the projects. I'd be down all the time. So there was a boy who was, mm-hmm. there was two boys, actually. I won't say their names, but they were, you know, they were openly gay.
Right.
Even as we were probably in junior high school, they were like the gay guys, right? So I remember one day I was down at the project with a girl's house, and we was all outside talking, me and a bunch of guys. I guess I was probably in high school at that point. And the dudes was like, yo, such and such and so and so told us to meet up on the roof at 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, whatever. Right. We all gonna go up there and get our dicks up. And I was like, what are y'all talking about?
Right.
But these guys, in their minds, didn't think that getting their dicks up by the two gay guys...
Well, that seems to be this whole thing. There's this whole culture of straight men who say, I get my dick sucked by gay men, but that doesn't make me gay.
And these niggas was excited.
Yeah.
But these niggas was like, yo, 9 o'clock, we going up to see... I was like, I'm going home to watch Jefferson's, nigga.
I'm going to watch Carol Burnett.
I'm not fucking with y'all.
There's actually, like, on some gay dating apps, like, you can get kicked. There are so many straight men who are looking just for... Straight men looking for sex with gay men, meaning either they just want to penetrate or they want oral sex from the gay man, that there are gay platforms who explicitly, like, forbid it. Like, because that's actually a category of, like, online dating is straight men. Who will say, I'm straight?
I just want to do this. Every once in a while
I get head from gay men. And it's like, do you hear the words that come in
out of
your mouth?
And, you know, what's interesting is it's not even just about this particular issue. It's even with women, right? Like, when you talk about women and...
Women who are gay for play, or
how many bodies you got. I just feel like the whole sexual conversation is like... You know, I read this post and it was just like... Why does this bother you so much? Not even why does it matter? Because even if you felt like, oh wow, that's different, right? or whatever, right? Like, even if you felt that way, like, there is like this this sort of visceral reaction, man, yeah. that people have to something that is of zero consequence.
I'm like, my nigga, it ain't gonna change your life.
Like my nigga, you're not a trans woman,
yeah.
So you have no worries about Malik Yoba
right.
grabbing your ass
and doing right. whatever.
And you're right, like I'm just saying, like it was just it's strange to me the investment
right.
in other people's. Sexuality
yeah.
that really it I don't want to say that it makes me, because I'm not saying I question those people, but there is always a level of sort of, like you said, like there's this very strict sort of prudish straightforward yeah. Like the tone never feels, because it always starts with I love X, Y, and Z,
but right.
And then it's usually like five paragraphs right. of probably, being wildly dismissive.
You probably ain't thought about Malik Yoba since the last time you saw New York Undercover rerun, but you all sorry. The last thing I'll say, because I don't want us to belabor this, is that there's, you know, people are for some reason able to easily understand that there are some women who might like having sex with other women but don't want to be in relationships with other women. But there aren't people who understand that they're... But men don't want to admit that they might want to have sex with other men, even though they're not... They don't...
Yeah.
Like, have emotional attachment to other... You know what I'm saying?
And I remember I put the spun this little young we ain't that young, he's like 20 some kids mm-hmm. head around, we talking about that
right.
He was like, yo man, you know, I ain't with all that homo shit, and I was like, yo, so you've had a threesome before? Right. Yeah, hell yeah, nigga, what the fuck you talking about? I said, so you participated in a homosexual act, bro?
Yeah.
He was like, fuck what you talking about, nigga? I said, did the girls, you had, it was two yeah. girls, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, did they interact, yeah. they do shit together? Hell yeah, nigga, was dope. I said, that's gay, bro.
Right.
And he was like, nah, fam. I said, fam.
Oh, my God.
Fam, what are you talking about?
Because they think a homosexual is only when it's
only,
dykes.
Only men.
Only dykes are men.
Or men, yeah. exactly. Yeah. Like, two girls freaking off is not, that's just some freak shit.
Two man. Sexy girls freaking off. If it was a butch shit. Girl, oh, yeah, she would have been
yeah,
gay.
Yeah, yeah. 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 Scrap on
yeah, you would. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Pull out that magic plastic, nigga. You right. ain't with that, nigga.
Hold on now. I ain't seen all that type of freak shit. I mean, back to the Malik thing. I mean, yeah. I don't want to believe we're going to move on. But my thing more with it is not about him, whatever, God bless. I just want to know how to... Like, I was trying to figure out this kind of new world that we're in, because it feels like the pendulum now is swinging. So, like you said, it was always over here where... you couldn't, you know, like, everybody's like, no gay shit or whatever. Right now it's swung all the way over to being, like, accepting, which is great. But now it's so accepting that it's like, well, I don't understand some things about this being, this acceptance. And I just have some questions about it. And I feel like you said, a lot of times you get your head chopped off because you're supposed to just accept everything without question.
I don't know. Well,
That's my issue.
Well, no, I don't think it's about you're supposed to accept without question. I think the problem is if you act like your acceptance is conditional upon getting answers to your questions.
Okay, all right, cool.
Because it's not really for you to accept or not accept.
Yeah. That's maybe the accept.
You know what I'm saying?
Accept is the wrong term.
So, but I get what you're saying.
Understanding.
So here's where I think we are. I still don't think we're at a true culture of acceptance or tolerance or whatever you want to call it.
Absolutely
but I think
not.
Where we are is where we're getting past. Because didn't a football player come out recently?
Yeah.
He's a retired player.
But still, it's still... I think we're getting to a point where... Because what happens is, again, as it is normalized, although some people think that normalization is the gay agenda, the whole point of normalization.
That's a whole separate concept.
Yeah, but the whole point of normalization
putting
is
putting shit on our food to, like, make the men gay.
If this shit wasn't so stigmatized, this wouldn't be this big a fucking deal, right? And as more people are like, yeah, okay, because even on the women's side, like, we still don't have that many out black women in entertainment either. You know what I mean? So it's like, if it wasn't so stigmatized, I think as more people talk about it, and they're like, yeah, it is what it is. That kind of leaves you powerless, because you'd be like, yo, you do this, snap, right? Like, yeah, I do. Okay,
and. You know, whatever.
Yeah, so it's like game
chips. Let's talk about AB real quick.
Yeah.
You want to take this one?
no, not really, but...
So Antonio Brown, yeah. I mean, last week y'all heard me complaining about my Raiders. We won, by the way.
Yeah, peace.
Y'all won, too. Yeah. Hell of a game
Hell
Sunday
of a
night.
Game, yeah.
Both games was actually really good. So he was released by the Raiders when was that, Sunday or Saturday?
No, like Saturday morning.
After
Saturday
just morning. Getting signed to the Raiders, what, in February?
Yeah. No, but he was in, yeah, I think he did his deal. I mean, he was at a Raider for like a month.
Yeah, he even played. He got released and picked up immediately by the New England Patriots. That's weird, but okay. And then it came out last night, that there's a woman, Brittany Taylor, who's a with the college with him and is a trainer, a physical trainer, who was claiming that he assaulted her sexually, what, two or three times?
Three times she counted.
That she counted. And she's taking this, it's a civil case, and she's taking the federal court.
Yeah.
Which is a lot easier to...
Yeah, the burden of proof is very different.
It's very different. And then she printed and posted an email that he sent where he's just going like ham on her, talking super reckless. So this guy just can't kind of get out the news for anything. It's all been negative with him.
His attorney released a letter, which was terrible, actually. But... this is, I'm not saying I don't believe her. What I am saying is that this is...
need to hear more evidence.
This feels a lot more messy, and by messy, I mean, like, there's a level of incestuousness here that I don't think that they're both being clear on.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting at all that she... you know, because she was around him or any of that sort of stuff, that she couldn't have been sexually assaulted. But there are a lot of things here that still seem to be sort of played out. I don't think that there's...
It's not as cut and dry.
It's definitely not as cut and dry. Now, he's acknowledged that they've had a consensual sexual relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is not, you know, denying that there was something going on between those two.
Yeah.
But I think that as we start to see more and more evidence and things, you know, things will trickle out. I mean, you know, you'll see those emails, but, you know, there's no emails from her side. There's no, you know, there's not a lot of information out there. We're kind of picking up stuff piecemeal and sort of. And the other thing is that there's a level of journalism with this that comes from higher grade newspapers, right. And then there's the blog culture that we also are in.
Shade room culture.
So you have to be very mindful and very careful when you are just taking stuff at face value from some of these sites, because you just never know.
Yeah.
And again, I'm definitely feeling like there was something amiss here. I just don't know if it's exactly what either of them are saying.
Yeah, we gotta.
There's the truth is somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, we gotta kind of wait, fall back, and kind of see what else is gonna come out in the press.
Yeah. It seems to me like they've also discussed about putting him on paid leave while they sort of figure this out. You know, listen, man, it's a terrible allegation. You know, it easily fits into the stereotype of someone looking to come up. And I'm using air quotes. Yeah. And it also easily fits into the stereotype of, like, you know, sex-crazed jock. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So there's a lot happening right now that I think that, you know, we probably need to take a second to kind of see a little more.
I agree. So, yeah, I mean, just your man, he's just... This has been all AB. It's been all bad.
Here's the thing. Like the Patriots move seemed like a finesse, right? And that's kind of what's funny to me. God bless this young woman, but it almost seems karmic, because it's almost like, you know, you've been acting the ass, you know, to get. First of all, the way he left the Steelers, mm-hmm. like he demanded the trade, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the way you left the Steelers, then you get into this whole shit with the Raiders over fucking helmet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you posting all kinds of correspondence to fucking social media.
And you're taping conversations
and putting them out to the public. And being a dick about it. And then you feel like you pulled this gotcha move. And you get traded up for a bigger guarantee and all this other shit.
To a Super Bowl contender,
and then this happens. Almost kind of like, to me, it was kind of like, all right, nigga, you showing your ass.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no doubt in my mind that... These allegations apparently started, I think she said that this started in 2017 or something like
17,
that.
Yeah, 17, yeah.
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that all of these teams knew this was either potentially coming down the pipe or... Right.
Yeah, these teams have great security.
They got the
highest of high security.
I know someone who works in that particular field. We're talking about guys that are former agents. We're talking about guys with, and not like green guys. We're talking about guys with 20 years of field experience.
Guys are retired and stuff like that.
Yeah, we're talking about guys with 15, 20 years of field experience. We're talking about guys that have led investigations. They have access, resources, and things that are not even, you know, easily accessible by local cops, right? Like, so they know everything. I don't know anybody that would sign anybody to the kind of money that you sign a professional athlete to without having done some due diligence.
Absolutely.
And taking a calculated risk as to what might come back and bite you in the ass.
Yeah.
I do feel like, you know, AB and the antics is just, you know, at first it was kind of like, oh, you know, whatever, you know, nigga don't want to be in the preseason.
Yeah.
It's training camp, it's nothing. And then it just started to sort of snowball, and I think he started to believe his own shit.
Absolutely.
And so I don't really, you know, I'm very indifferent about him, like, as a player. Yeah. I'm very indifferent. I mean, he's great, but, like, I'm not rooting for him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So we'll see. I want to talk about this thing we started to talk about offline on the that's been popping up on the timeline. It's been popping up for a little bit now about coffee dates versus real dates. So
even you said it, coffee date versus real date. You just betrayed the shit yourself.
I never said a coffee date was a real date. Oh, this, let me preface it.
Okay.
So what's been happening? I don't know when it started. What's happened is that there have been some women who have talked about how guys...
There was one... I'll let you go. It was one particular woman.
Yeah, it was one particular
said
woman.
She was asked to go on a coffee date.
Yes.
In which she replied, I only do coffee dates with friends.
And for business.
And for business.
So she's so like, I'm happy to do it with you
as a friend. But basically, if you want to woo me...
Take me to dinner.
Right.
Take me out to a proper dinner.
And she said that he came back
and
asked her for dinner. And she basically, like, I'm happy to have coffee with you as friends. And he came back and asked her for dinner. The thing that set everybody off was that she said, ladies, these dudes, some to the effect of, like, they know, they will take you out on a real date. They just want to see if they can lowball you.
Yeah,
they're
trying to test you.
No, she literally said lowball. That's that, and that's what set everybody off. But this has been an ongoing conversation. Like, last year, there was a whole argument
the
about the pre
dates
or the pre
and
date.
All that shit.
There was this whole thing about pre dating.
Okay,
like, because here's where it gets tricky. You see, what I was trying to say to you, Jeff, you was out of the game for a minute.
Yeah.
And B, we're of a certain age.
Yeah.
This ain't really us.
No, it's not.
This ain't really us.
It's younger.
It's these young people. Also, we live in New York. What the fuck I look like arguing about a $200 date? I took my... Is that you? Whose music is that?
I have no idea.
Oh, that's me. I'm sorry. I'm looking like, which one of y'all niggas got?
I'm like
that's my
phone.
Sorry. But I live in New York. So what the fuck? I just literally took Greg's daughter to Nobu yesterday and it was a $200 check at 5:30 in the afternoon. You know what I mean? So it's like, what I look like arguing over a $200 dinner?
Okay.
So all that said, though... there is a contingency, because I've been talking about this with my friends. There are a contingent of people who believe that you should do a low pressure, low commitment meet before there is a larger date to make sure that y'all vibe.
I agree with that.
Like,
10,000%.
That's cool, right? There is another contingent who believe, who for some reason equate a dinner, buying dinner for a woman to basically getting, like, hosed down for money. Like, that's a goal. Yes, but there, no,
no,
I'm
no,
saying
I'm
there's
saying,
another.
I'm not,
I know
I'm
that's
saying,
not where
saying,
you're
not,
coming from.
Not
I know that's not where you're coming from, but I'm saying there's another contingent of men who basically, like, act like buying dinner for somebody
is like I'm a sucker.
Like, I'm tricking because I'm buying you dinner.
Yeah.
Which is...
Because I spent $84.
And, like, like, granted, there are some women who use dudes to go eat.
That too?
But if those are the women that you keep coming across, that's actually on you. Like, if those are the kind of women that you keep having to find yourself with, that's about your dating pool and who you tend to choose up with. Mm-hmm. I don't understand any of this because, fortunately, I came up in a tricking era where niggas was like, get your girls, let's go eat.
Let's go to Mr. So that was great.
Yes, thank you for that. But I'm just saying, like, but I also have never had a problem putting it on a check. I've never had a problem, like, as dating progress,
so do
right?
you think this whole pre-date thing, because to me, again, this goes back to the $200 dates thing and all right. stuff too, it feels like
I think
too
it's
many
the
people
result of
emphasize,
the online dating
yeah,
era.
That, definitely that, and I think too many people in today's dating, from what I can see, tend to emphasize the amount of money that's being spent. That's it. That's the gist of it.
But
like,
they also,
if you're only going to spend this much money, then this shit don't count.
Right.
And I'm like, that's just whack.
That's why. Well, also, it's the money thing, but what's bigger than that is that these people see dating as a zero sum game. So it's almost like, you're not going to get me. That's really what it is. It's not even so much about money, but it's like, you're not going to trick me in the buying you all kind of shit and doing all kind of shit.
Does that go both ways though? Because there's a girl, there's a woman saying that too. You know, I just got this nigga to buy me dinner. Fuck him. I went back to my boyfriend.
But I actually see more, especially from older women, I see more of the other side, which is like, and we've talked about this before, where for some reason it's demanded that women of a certain standard lower their standards, but that men raise their standards. So it's like, how exactly does that work? Like, women, it's like, women, you can't be asking for blah, 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 blah. You need to be happy with this nigga who's building and who just wants to spend some time with you and who just wants to do whatever. But with niggas, it's like, don't do nothing for her. Make her do this and don't do that and wait for this and don't. So it's like, how does that, if you have this opposite messaging going to both of them, then everybody fucked up because it becomes a bad, like I said, it's a zero sum game.
But,
like
this, but again, this is why, but this is why I was totally with the coffee date shit.
Right.
Because I feel like with that going on in the world today, I think it's
with that going on in the world today, Craig.
Old nigga shit back in my day. I think that it's better for y'all youngins to do some coffee shit first because nobody's really spending no money and hopefully you're getting a chance to
let me finish.
And getting a chance to really talk, right? To see if we vibe a
right,
little
so
bit.
Right, so I was gonna say that. Here's the problem. These niggas don't know how to communicate at all. That's actually the problem. Y'all text WYD and HMU all motherfucking day and y'all don't talk on the phone. So like my dating process, and it's different from other people, because first of all, I actually don't like dating in the traditional sense of the word. Like if me and somebody get along, like let's do some, like I like hanging out and I like doing dinners, but if I don't vibe with you, I'm not going to keep dating you. Like,
yeah,
like
I don't know. It's done.
And I really enjoy the comfort of my home. So when I was still dating, it actually took a lot to actually get me to a date process. I would first communicate with you on platform and see if you could put a full fucking sentence together. Then we text a little bit. Then I talk to you on the phone. The phone was the screen for me. Like, can you carry on the conversation? Can you make me laugh? Are you just sitting there like a bump on the log? And if the phone call was cool, okay, let's meet up. If the phone call, if all that other shit was
now, you to the meetup. Did the meetup, is the meetup a real date, as they say?
Well, it would depend.
Or
if
a nigga says meet up and have some coffee and talk.
Well, first of all, I don't drink coffee, so if you invite me,
whatever.
And there was one dude.
Let's go to Jamba Juice.
Well, it's a couple things. So first of all, for me, and maybe not now, but then, daytime dates for me mean I'm giving you my weekend day. That's not happening. Because I'm at the office till it's dark. You know this game. Unless I'm going to leave the office to come back. I'm not going to leave the office for a day to come back. I was always good for a drinks meetup. Like, let's meet and get some drinks.
After work.
Yeah, let's meet and get some drinks, which is low pressure. I think the thing is that people keep talking about coffee, instead of what it really is supposed to be, which is like
vibing.
Which is like an entry.
Yes.
Because if you're picking a location and a time and making advanced plans, that's a date. That is the actual definition of a date.
That was my point.
Right. So I think the thing that people are caught up on, it has to be a coffee. That's the thing that's bothering me, is that everybody's
Let me chime in. Well, one, I've been out the game for a very long time.
Since 73.
Right.
Since niggas had Scott Pagers.
However, literally. however... Let me just say, I think that a couple things happening here.
Mm-hmm.
One, I think that the idea of a coffee date is like, you niggas are online at Starbucks. And I don't necessarily think that a coffee date Like, for example,
in New York, it could be something.
Yes, in New York, you can find like a coffee house that's a dessert place.
Sit down.
Yeah. You get some fucking fresh ground from Kenya, some shit like that. Like that to me is not like you niggas sitting in Dunkin' Donuts,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Drinking
meat at the diner.
Yeah. So I think that most people process Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, coffee.
Right.
They don't think about it in a small coffee house sort of sense.
Right.
And I think that that's the intention of what, hey, let's go out for, you know, let's get coffee.
Right.
First. Second of all, I think that there's a generational thing happening here.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you said what your screening process is. So what your screening process actually does is it informs you that you are going to be going on a date with someone who can hold the conversation.
Yes.
Who is intriguing to you, right? And I think that now, because so much of our interaction is based on text or social media or email or things like that, we don't have the traditional, we don't have the traditional, I don't want to say physical connection, but there's a
vetting. Like, yes, usually you would meet somebody in person and you would talk to them and vibe before you even exchange numbers.
Which is why people would date people they worked with.
Right.
Because it was people that you saw.
All the time.
You knew their sensibility. Mm-hmm. It's somebody you knew. Somebody who lived around your way. Somebody you went to school with. Somebody who... There was always a common denominator that gave you the ability to source out who this person was. You kind of had a feel, right? So, yeah, I get that. But then I also think that there are different levels to what people feel is appropriate and proper. Now, this woman felt like it was appropriate and proper for a man who was coming to keep time with her as a woman.
To take her on a proper date.
However, he texted her.
Right.
To ask her on that date, which some women would be like, "Nigga, don't text me to pick up the phone and call me."
Yeah.
So that tweet was just so telling of sort of the various ways in which we all have our boundaries and what we think.
And that's the key. It's about you just said the perfect thing, because somebody was like, "A coffee date is a perfect date," and I was like, "Oh, it's a perfect first date." And I was like, "No, a perfect first date is totally subjective to the people who are on that date."
Yes,
and that's what gets mixed up is that. And I went through this the last time I was dating. Motherfuckers, with one guy specifically, motherfuckers trying to enforce upon you what they think is the right date process, whatever, as opposed to what works for both of y'all, right? Because again, the thing is, if you are coming to me to ask me out, if you are telling me you want to get to know me better, then like, you need to create an environment that's comfortable for me, right? Not that this is how you always do it, not this is your thing, but like something that is like respectful to me, like, you know, it's gonna at least be like centrally located for both, but like, it makes sense, right? And I think that some people get stuck on, now I'm doing it like this, instead of really giving thought. Like, a date, again, is supposed to be about something where y'all can chill and vibe and do something fun and kind of get to know each other. And if you're so stuck on, like, I have like certain parts of the process, you're gonna miss the actual point of the goddamn date. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, it doesn't always have. And I mean, I also understand that living in New York, I speak from a very different perspective when I'm just like, there's so many more things that you can do to just go to dinner.
And,
but that's a New York thing.
And like, there's so, like, the other thing is like this idea, and I'm gonna say this, and this is relatively speaking, that dating is expensive.
It doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be.
But you do have to put forth effort.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Even as a married man, like, there's still some level of effort that I have to make when we go out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, nigga, like, I still putting on some cologne.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
shit, because I'm married. I still want some ass when I get home.
And that's the other thing. I think there's some dudes who, like, there are some dudes who not only don't want to spend money, they don't want to put in any effort.
Okay, but this is my thing, and you're right. But I'm just saying, this is, I always got to go to the other side. there's some gals that don't want to do it either. There's a whole bunch of gals.
I think that
that's to me. That's my issue. It's like when these things happen, it feels like a lot of time. And look, there's a lot of dudes that deserve to be bashed. I'm not denying that. But there's some gals on that other side that just want that are lazy as fuck, who just want to just show up,
get
fed, and don't really got much to say neither. I've got my meal. I'm good.
But there's a dude. But you know what? A lot of time, those women who are like that, the reason they are like that is because there's a bunch of niggas that's always just been up their ass because they look good.
Yeah.
And so there's a nigga somewhere that will do that for them. And that's the thing. If you don't like what Shorty's telling you, then don't date Shorty. And vice versa. Like, you know what I mean?
Instead but there's of a lot of dudes that's good looking guys that girls is just, like, end up, like, you know, tapping ass the first night or two because a lot of girls do that too. So
also,
you get that.
Also, I'm going to just say it. A lot of you niggas are out of your range.
Yes, that too.
A lot of you niggas.
Like, you shooting way out of your
way
range.
Way out of your range,
and then
okay,
you
my
mad.
Nigga. Like,
and
use a hard five, my nigga. And
you're
going for nine.
Right. Yeah.
Like what's the equation? You can only go two above and two below where you are, my nigga. Right. Like, you got to stay in your range. And so, yeah, so if you meet a woman of a certain caliber, like, yeah, my nigga, like, she's going to expect a certain thing. Like, if she can afford Noble on her own,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's why the $200 date was always.
You know, cafeteria is cool.
Yeah,
but like, I'm not getting fly to go there because I've always. I even say this with my boys sometimes when we go out. It's like, yo, we going to dinner or we grabbing something to eat? Because that's two different
things.
If we going to dinner, I got to put on good shirt.
Yeah. If we grabbing something to eat.
We grabbing something to eat.
Some wings
I'm going like this.
Yeah, we good.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I meet you in my hoodie.
Yeah.
And I also think I come from a place where... So, I went back to South Carolina once for homecoming. And this is when I realized that, like, shit was really different. And also, it's a house of occupation. We work in a business where everything's like, let's go get some food. Mm. Let's go get some drinks. Everybody got corporate cards. It's whatever, or it's like, I'll pick this one up, you pick that one up. Like, I really don't trip off of checks.
Mm-hmm.
I never have, just because it's the environment I've been in, mm-hmm. right? So, I went down south one time. It was after homecoming. It's like four girls, it's a bunch of dudes we all went to school with. Everybody's grown and married now. Nobody is currently fucking anybody, and I think that part is key. We ordered a bunch of food from Waffle House. I think altogether the food was like $40, right? None of these grown-ass niggas was like, I'm going to go get this food. It's $40. So I was like, I'm going to pay for the fucking food because y'all are ridiculous. You know, and I'm just kind of like, it's $40.
Yeah.
I can go to the fucking 7-Eleven and spend $40. Like, are you kidding me, y'all grown-ass men? But I really think in their mind, it's like, why would I pay for this food? I'm not fucking y'all. And I'm like, it's $40. We're fucking
I think that there's...
You know what I mean? It was just like the most ridiculous shit.
I think we're also at a point where there's a generational divide
in what
our expectations are versus what this sort of next expectation, the next generation's expectations. And so there is so you have some overlap.
Right.
And I think where you see those issues is where you see that overlap.
Right.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, you see a person that comes from, you know, a certain caliber, you know, you use certain things and you know what I'm saying? Like, you're never going to think about picking up a $40 check.
Yeah.
That was the most ridiculous.
Right? Like, I'm
just cussed everybody out. No, but I cussed. I was like, y'all need to be a fucking shame.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, that's ridiculous.
Come on.
Yeah.
So I think that you have this sort of, I don't want to feel like I'm being played like a fool.
Right.
And you also don't want to have the, you know, nigga, you doing all this because you think I'm going to fuck you.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So but when you are shooting out of your range, and somebody else brought this up, they were like, a lot of the women who I saw, they were saying that a lot of women they saw chiming in, it was like, it was a dude they didn't want to go. There's been cases of dudes where they didn't want to go out with them in the first place.
But they went anyway.
But dudes kept going harder and harder until it was finally like, all right, if you want to take me out, this is what you got to do. So, like, if you're going to do that, like Sean said, if you're going to shoot above your range, and you're going to go for a certain type of girl, and she needs a certain kind of thing, you can't, either you're going to do it or you're going to not.
Like, nigga, like, you want Nicole Murphy, nigga?
Right.
Or not.
That's going to cost.
Listen, it's going to cost you. And it ain't going to cost you a little, nigga.
It's going to cost you a little. And what bothers me...
Because that coffee date, nigga, she wants to go to Kenya to get that coffee.
We ain't going to Brazil?
Right.
What are you talking about?
And my last thing is that what bothers me is that those dudes complaining about date costs and buying dinner, those will be the exact same niggas who, like, date two will be like, yo, you're not going to cook for me?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, so I can go get my time, my labor, wash dishes, fucking buy groceries, because them niggas don't ever offer to buy groceries. They just showing up. They just show the fuck up. So, like, that's fine. You come and sitting up in my house while I cook some food and spend money on food and spend time and labor on food is fine, but an appetizer and an entree and a drink is
it's just too much. It's just outrageous. We don't know enough about it.
We gotta put in 42 hours before you can do that shit. But you think it, like I should just want to come you to come to my house so I can fucking cook you.
I just think my thing is this with the whole kind of expense. My thought process with the whole kind of, you know, expensive dates or whatever, it's been, you know, because I've had girls, one girl, she was like, oh, you should take me to Alvin Ailey and then we should go to out to dinner to Noble after. And I was like, basically, you ain't earned that, Bree. And they said I wouldn't do it, right. But why would I do that? And I said it to her, why would I do that now with you?
Right.
Yeah, we're not there.
We are not there. You haven't earned that.
I think it's different when, so I will say this, I think it is different for a woman, I think it is presumptuous for a woman to make specific suggestions.
Nigga, that's a G.
Unless, yeah, I see.
Yeah, that's
unless,
a G.
I'm like, why would I, right. I was like, what the fuck would I do?
Unless, I think it's different to say, I want a dinner date, then say, I want you to take me to Nobu or Michelle.
And then all this other shit. All this other shit.
Unless a dude is like, where do you want to go?
Yeah, that's different. Yeah,
because just on the strength, Nobu happens to be one of my favorite restaurants. Like, again, I will go there by myself. So sometimes if you say to me, where you want to go, I might say Nobu, but nigga, I might say Houston's. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I might be like, let's go get some spinach dip. Like, it could go.
I just think, like I said, I think that a lot of times dudes, I mean, women, in my opinion, kind of like see how far they could push it. Like, well, let me
and see. And I do think that's presumptuous.
And I think it's mad presumptuous. Like I said, and I think that, you know, like, let's, again, I don't have a problem doing that, but let's build to that. So then, I feel like if I do take somebody who I'm just getting to know on some super high end shit, and for whatever reason it doesn't work out, and I don't mean getting ass, just that we just don't vibe, I feel like I wasted it.
I wasted the experience
with somebody I don't fucking like.
I think that sometimes, you know? Too, man, we don't. I think women spend time with who they want to spend time with.
That's real?
I really.
That's 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I really just feel like, I'm not saying that a woman's going to lower her standards and go to fucking Dunkin' Donuts, like I said earlier, but I'm just saying, like, you know, if she wants
if
to
she spend like
time,
you,
if she likes you, my she, nigga, she'll like, go if with she you wants to spend time.
Because y'all going to have a good
not
time.
Not only is she going to the Fuddruckers, nigga, she wearing her Ian clothes. Nigga. Right. Like, because she know she going to have on a white shirt. Yeah. She know she going to get ketchup on her.
So much elastic in the
waist. Yeah, and all of that. And I just think that we don't, you know, because, and again, it's the way this sort of generation communicates. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a little older, nigga. Like, I remember being on a hotel phone.
Yeah.
All night, shit, when I be on the road.
Expensive, too.
Yeah. Why? There's a lot of hotels I ran out the back of.
Yeah. Damn right.
A lot.
Right.
You walk out of a $200 phone bill.
Easy. Yeah. Easy. You know what I'm saying? Why be on the phone until the sun comes up?
Let me get the cold.
Yeah, all that, dude. Yeah, you get the hot phone calls, all that shit. But I'm just saying, like, there's the way people spend time together now, and also too, I think social media and IG in particular has kind of changed. It's warped what
they these motherfuckers don't know how to date. That's basically what it's coming up. They don't know how to. First of all, they don't know how to socialize. They don't know how to communicate with the opposite sex, and they don't know how to date.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. That's it.
Yeah.
Go on your pre-dates, y'all.
Oh, also, y'all go watch The Evolution of Hip Hop on Netflix. It's
Dead serious.
Yeah, it is one of
the most well done documentaries.
It's very good.
That I can't remember that guy's name who is the host.
His name is rap or something. No. I'm forgetting his name, but he's from Canada.
Yes,
Canadian.
You can always tell people who really appreciate hip hop and the history of it. They have done a very good job
at, and they got really great access. Getting
talent.
Yeah.
And they've done a very good job at telling a story and telling it truthful, like really honestly digging into shit and really specifying and identifying people that are largely forgotten by sort of the bigger mainstream outlets. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because nobody, who the fuck, only a real hip hop dude is gonna know fucking Shy D from Atlanta
or Coco LaRocco.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, I definitely
like he went to see MC Schoolie D. MC Schoolie D made him bring him a cake.
Yeah.
He only does interviews if you bring him a cake, and he'll taste the cake before he does an interview because if the cake's not good, he's not. But like, it's shit like that. I can also tell there's a real budget there because this nigga is traveling to
He's traveling everybody. To people, Yeah, I haven't seen the new ones. I'm going to watch it though.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. Okay. We're wrapping up. We'll see y'all next week.
Later. Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook, send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast. Talk to you next week.